they are few and far between, and other forms of literature may be found which will, in part, help to develop their peculiar type of mentality. But fairy tales are the heritage of the normal child, and if he be judiciously fed on them, in later life he will have a more plastic imagination and be able to enjoy more fully the beauties of great poetry and other fine literature. Robert Burns said in a letter to Dr. Moore that in his infant and boyish days he owed much to an old woman who lived in his family, for her tales of brownies and fairies and other wonders cultivated the late seeds of poetry in the poet's mind. And even the grave Luther said, "I would not for any quantity of gold part with the wonderful tales which I have retained from my earliest childhood, or have met with in my progress through life." Charles Lamb and Coleridge, too, believed heartily in fairy tales. "Ought children to be permitted to read romances and stories of giants, magicians, and genii?" asked Coleridge. "I know all that has been said against it, but I have formed my faith in the affirmative. I know no other way of giving the mind a love of the great and the whole. I read every book that came in my way without distinction, and my father was fond of me and used to take me on his knee and hold long conversations with me. I remember when 8 years old walking with him one winter evening, and he then told me the names of the stars, and how Jupiter was 1,000 times larger than our world, and that the other twinkling stars were suns that had worlds rolling around them. And when I came home, he showed me how they rolled around. I heard him with a profound delight and admiration, but without the least mixture of wonder or incredulity. For from my early reading of fairy tales and about genii and the like, my mind had been habituated to the vast, and I never regarded my senses in any way as the criteria of my belief." Such, then, is the educational mission of the fairy tale, not only to give pure joy, but to enlarge the mind. And as childhood is the only time when this miracle takes place in its completeness, every child who so desires should be allowed to wander at will in the land of imaginative delights, where the king of fairy poets, Shakespeare, loved to wander as a child and as a man. In the plea of the Midsummer Fairies, that benign shape answers grisly Time, who had cut down all the assembled fays. "These be pretty genii of the flowers, daintily fed with honey and pure dew, Midsummer's phantoms in her dreaming hours, King Oberon and all his merry crew, the darling puppets of romance's view, fairies and sprites and goblin elves we call them, famous for patronage of lovers true. No harm they act, neither shall harm befall them. So do not thus with crabbed frowns appall them. Likewise to them are poets much beholden for secret favors in the midnight glooms. Brave Spenser quaffed out their goblets golden, and saw their tables spread of prompt mushrooms, and heard their horns of honeysuckled blooms sounding upon the air most soothing soft, like humming bees busy about the brooms, and glanced this fair queen's witchery full oft, and in her magic wane soared far aloft. 'Twas they first schooled my young imagination to take its flights like any new-fledged bird, and showed the span of winged meditation, stretched wider than things grossly seen or heard. With sweet swift aerial how I soared and stirred the fragrant blooms of spiritual bowers, 'twas they endeared what I have still preferred. Nature's blessed attributes and balmy powers, her hills and vales and brooks, sweet birds and flowers." The Fairies' Story Hour. 'Tis the hour of the fairy ban and spell. The woodtick has kept the minutes well. He has counted them all with click and stroke, deep in the heart of the mountain oak. And he has awakened the sentry elf, who sleeps with him in the haunted tree, to bid him ring the houred 12, and call the fays to their revelry. 12 small strokes on his tinkling bell, 'twas made of the white snail's pearly shell. Midnight comes, and all is well. Hither, hither, wing your way, 'tis the dawn of the fairy day.